star that pointed to Hitler. And thirdly, the stars are there
as signposts for travellers by night, so that travellers in the night time can see the correct direction. But as for claiming that the stars indicate events that are going to happen upon the earth, then this is to claim ilmul ghayb, knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, which is specific to Allah alone. And likewise, ascribing events upon the earth, like the fall of rain and winds and the like, ascribing that to the stars, then this is a form of shirk. Rather, Allah is the one who sends the rain and causes whatever occurs upon the earth, not the stars. The next point that we had, point 116, was with regard to the fact that we should beware of ilm al-kalam, beware of rhetorical theology, beware of theology, knowledge of belief, creed and belief, based upon logic and rhetoric. We have to avoid that, keep away from that, and keep away from its people. But rather, what is obligatory upon us is that we take our creed and belief, and we base our action, and we base our behaviour, not upon the like of that, but rather upon the book, the sunnah, and the way of the Salaf, what the predecessors were upon. And that whoever learns this, ilm al-kalam, rhetorical theology, theology based on logic and the like, whoever takes this up and leaves aside following the book and the sunnah and the way of the Salaf in that regard, then he is upon misguidance. And Allah has rendered us to have no need of such things, logic and rhetoric and intellectual arguments and innovated terminologies which they bring. Allah has rendered us to have no need of that. Rather, he has sent down the book and the sunnah, and all good lies within that, and there is no good except that it is within the book and the sunnah. He likewise brought the famous saying of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, that my judgment with regard to the people of rhetorical theology is that they should be paraded amongst the tribes, they should be beaten with palm branches, and they should be paraded amongst the tribes. And it should be said, this is the recompense for those who abandon the book and the sunnah and take upon themselves rhetorical theology. So we are not to sit with those people. And lastly, we had the point number 117 with regard to what is upon us is to adhere to the narrations, to the ahadith, and to the people of the narrations. And Sheikh Razan said that we should ask those people, the people of knowledge amongst those people, people of the narrations, we should ask them and sit with them and benefit from them. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he follows this with a further point, point number 118, where he said, it occurs here in volume 2, for those who've got the legal version, volume 2, page 125, that he said, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّهُ مَا عُبِدَ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِثْلِ الْخَوْفِ مِنْ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَطَرِيقِ الْخَوْفِ وَالْحُزْنِ وَالشَّفَقَاتِ وَالْحَيَاءِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. He said, rahimahullah, and know that Allah has not been worshipped with anything the like of fear of Allah, the perfect. And the path of fear, sadness, having apprehension, and feeling shy before Allah, the exalted and the most high. Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مَا عُبِدَ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِثْلِ الْخَوْفِ مِنَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. And you should know that Allah has not been worshipped with anything the like of fear of Allah, the one free of all imperfections. He said, al-ibadah, worship, is centered upon, or rests upon, three matters: al-khawf, fear, and ar-raja, hope, and al-mahabba, love. Fear and hope and love. So the worship of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, will not be ibadah, worship. It will not actually be worship unless these matters exist within it. Al-khawf min Allah, fear of Allah, wa raja'u rahmatillahi azza wa jal, and having hope for the mercy of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So it should not be fear alone to the extent that he despairs of the mercy of Allah. And it should not be just hope alone to such an extent that he feels safe from Allah's plan. And it should not be love alone without fear and hope. Rather, the three are essential. Fear and hope and love for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And therefore they said, in the people of knowledge, earlier people of knowledge said, مَنْ عَبَدَ اللَّهَ بِالْخَوْفِ فَقَطْ وَهُوَ فَارِجِي. Whoever worships Allah upon fear alone, then he is a khariji. He's one of the khawarij. The Shaykh said, because this is the way of the khawarij. Because they are the people of al-wa'id. They are the people of the textual threats. And they give precedence to the textual threats, and they ignore the textual promises. And he said, continuing with the saying of the scholars, وَمَنْ عَبَدَ اللَّهَ بِالرَّجَاءِ فَقَطْ فَهُوَ مُرْجِئِ. And whoever worships Allah upon hope alone, then he is a murji'i. One of the murji'a. Shaykh said, because this is the way of the murji'a. Those who do not fear Allah, rather they just rely upon hope alone. He said, and Allah the Majestic and Most High says, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 99. With explanation, do they feel safe from the plan of Allah? Then no one feels safe from the plan of Allah except for the people who are destroyed. Then Shaykh Fawzan carried on with the saying of the scholars, وَمَنْ عَبَدَ اللَّهَ بِالْمَحَبَّةِ فَقَبْ فَهُوَ صُوفِي. And whoever worships Allah based upon love alone, then he is a Sufi. He's a Sufi. And they mentioned in the footnote, to refer to Majmu' al-Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, volume 15, page 21, and Sharh al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah of Ibn Abdul Izz, also. Shaykh Fawzan said, because the Sufis, they say, we do not worship Allah hoping for his paradise, nor do we worship him having fear of his fire, but rather we only worship him out of love for him alone. In the footnote they refer you to the book Madarij al-Salikin, then this book of Imam Ibn Qayyim, Madarij al-Salikin, for the lack of the saying of the Sufis that they say, the deviants, they say, we do not worship Allah having fear. And whatever they say, we don't worship Allah hoping for his paradise, and we don't worship him fearing his fire, we only worship him out of love for him alone. Shaykh Fawzan said, and this is misguidance. So it must be the case that you worship Allah with fear and hope and love. And he said, he's saying, وَفَرِيقِ الْخَوْفِ وَالْحُزْنِ وَالشَّفَقَاتِ وَالْحَيَاءِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And the path of fear and sorrow and apprehensiveness and having shyness before Allah, the Exalted and Most High. Sheikh Fawzan said, adhere to having haya, adhere to having shyness before Allah. And shyness before Allah is that He does not see you upon disobedience to Him. He doesn't see you committing sin against Him. So you feel shy with regard to the created beings. You feel shy of their seeing you upon doing something not befitting. So how is it that you do not feel shy from Allah, that He sees you disobeying Him? This is something very strange from a person. He said, just as Allah the Most High said, يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. So from Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 108, with the explanation. They, those evildoers, they seek to conceal themselves from the people, but they do not conceal themselves from Allah. And He is with them when they spend the night in secret, devising speech that He is not pleased with. Shaykh Fawzan said, so it is upon you to be shy with regard to Allah, firstly, and to avoid sinning against Him, because He sees you. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, continues with what's the next point here, point number 119. وَحْذَرْ أَن تَجْلِسَ مَعَ مَنْ يَدْعُوا إِلَى الشَّوْقِ وَالْمُحَبَّةِ وَمَنْ يَخْلُو مَعَ النِّسَاءِ وَفَرِيقِ الْمَذْهَبِ فإن هؤلاء كلهم على الضلالة. He said, and beware of sitting with those who call to infatuation. Shulk, infatuation, or extreme passion. And beware of sitting with those who call to infatuation and love, and who seclude themselves along with women, and who follow a certain path, certain way, for all of them are upon misguidance. Sheikh Fawzan, hafizullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَحْذَرْ أَن تَجْلِسَ مَعَ مَنْ يَدْعُو إِلَى الشَّوْقِ وَالْمَحَبَّةِ, and beware of sitting with those who call to a shawq, infatuation, the like, and love. Sheikh Fawzan said, and they are the Sufis. They are the Sufis. So having warned you against sitting with the scholars of Kalam, rhetorical theology, he now warns you against sitting with another misguided sect, and they are the Sufis, those who worship Allah with innovations and newly introduced affairs, which Allah has sent down no proof for. So they abandon the Sunnah. Indeed, they give no importance at all to Hadith, and they give no importance at all to seeking knowledge, and they warn against seeking knowledge, ilm. They say, seeking knowledge will preoccupy you away from the remembrance of Allah. It will preoccupy you away from worship. The Shaykh said, and this is dalal, this is misguidance. Because worship will not be correct, and dhikr, remembrance of Allah, will not be correct, unless it is done in accordance with the book and the sunnah. And it cannot be like that except through knowledge, except through ilm. And therefore they go astray, and Allah's refuge is sought. They renounce knowledge and learning. And they said to the people, occupy yourselves with the remembrance of Allah. Occupy yourselves with worship. Sheikh said, and this is nothing but misguidance. Because worship and dhikr, worship and remembrance of Allah, will not be correct unless they are upon correct knowledge and upon following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if they are done upon other than knowledge and iktiba and following the Messenger, then they will be misguidance. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd. Whoever does an action which our affair is not in accordance with, then it will be rejected. The Sheikh said, so how can you know that this is something which accords to the affair of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except through learning, except through acquiring knowledge? And he said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدُّ. Whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, then it will be rejected. The Sheikh, although in the footnotes they mention the reference for these hadith that already preceded in volume 1, and we had there that both these wordings are from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. The first wording being reported by Muslim, hadith 17:18, and the second wording being reported both by Bukhari, is hadith 2697, and Muslim again is hadith 1718. So the first wording, just repeat what the Sheikh just said in the previous sentence, he said, quoted the wording of the hadith, whoever does an action which our affair is not in accordance with, then it will be rejected. He said, so how can you know that this thing you're doing, how can you know it is something which accords with the affair of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except through learning? And he said, whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, then it will be rejected. Sheikh continued, how will you know whether this is something newly introduced unless you compare it to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So therefore it is essential to learn firstly, and that you do not renounce knowledge and seeking knowledge. He said, seeking knowledge is more excellent than supererogatory acts of worship. Seeking knowledge is more excellent, better than optional acts of worship. So the person who sits studying an issue of knowledge is more excellent than the person who stands in prayer for the whole night. Why? He raises the question, why is this so? He said, because he will be worshipping Allah upon knowledge and clear insight. This one who acquires knowledge and then uses that knowledge for worship, he will be worshipping Allah upon knowledge and upon clear insight. And because of the fact that the scholar, the person of knowledge, benefits himself and he benefits others besides himself. But as for the worshipper who prays for the whole night and fasts for the day, then he benefits himself alone. He only benefits himself, and he does not benefit the people. So his benefit is restricted to his own self. So if you learn knowledge, you can benefit your own self and you can benefit the people. And therefore he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر على سائر الكواكب. He said, the excellence of the scholar, excellence of the personal knowledge over the worshipper, is like the excellence of the moon over the rest of the stars. In a footnote, they mention this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad and Ad-Darimi and Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban and At-Tuhawi in Sharh Mushkil al-Athar and by others besides them from a hadith of Abu Darda. And it was declared Hassan, good, by Hamza al-Kinani, and declared Sahih, authentic, by Ibn Hibban and At-Tuhawi. And it's a part of a longer hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilma sahalallahu lahu tariqan ila jannah. And it's part of a long hadith. Whoever seeks a path, whoever follows a path, seeking by means of it knowledge, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. The hadith. And with regard to this hadith, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he declared it Hassan due to its support. Hassan, good, due to its supporting narration in Sahih al-Targhib, number 70. So, having mentioned this narration, Shaykh al-Albani, hafidhahullah, he said, explaining it, a hadith that the excellence of the scholar over the worshipper is like the excellence of the moon over the rest of the stars. He said, because the moon shines upon the creation, and riders can proceed within it, and within its light. And Allah puts fruits in order by means of it, the moonlight. And it has tremendous benefits. But as for a star, then it just shines for itself alone. Its light is restricted to it. You know, light can shine, so a rider, for example, can travel in the light of a star on its own, contrary to the moon. And the Sheikh said, this then is with regard to the worshipper, and that light of the star is like the worshipper then, just benefits itself. He said, this is with regard to the worshipper who worships Allah upon the truth. Then how about the worshipper who worships Allah upon ignorance? And that hadith referring to the excellence of the scholar over the worshipper. I mean, a worshipper is upon truth, then the scholar is like the moon, and the worshipper is just like a star. The worshipper is upon the truth, though, it's just like the star, benefits himself. And the Shaykh said, this is with regard to the worshipper who worships Allah upon the truth. Then how about the worshipper who worships Allah upon jahl, upon ignorance? This one, it may be that his worship itself is misguidance and is rejected for him. So therefore, knowledge and seeking knowledge is essential. And do not be deceived by those people who encourage the people upon dhikr, upon remembrance, and upon khuruj, going out, going out of the tabligh, the Sufis call themselves the tabligh, going out, they say to the da'wah. The Shaykh said, don't be deceived by those people who encourage the people upon dhikr, remembrance, and upon going out, and upon night prayer, and upon fasting, and who deter the people from seeking knowledge, and from sitting in the mosques to seek knowledge with the scholars. And he said, he's saying, وَمَنْ يَخْلُوا مَعَ النِّسَاءِ, and beware of those people who seclude themselves with women. The Shaykh said, because some of the Sufis, they don't withhold themselves from that which is haram. They don't stop themselves from that which is forbidden. They say, there is no sin upon us. We are from those who are al-arifina billah. We are from those people who have true awareness of Allah. And they regard sins as being lawful for them. And they say, there are no prohibitions for us. and there are no obligations upon it, because we have reached Allah and we have no need of worship. They said, and therefore they commit homosexuality and they commit fornication and they gaze at that which is forbidden, and they say, there is no sin upon us in this, because we are just looking upon the signs of Allah. They say this is just a case of looking upon the signs of Allah. Sheikh said, so Satan falsely adorns this for them, and they seclude themselves with beardless youths, and evils occur from them. They claim that they are the awliya of Allah. They claim that they are the beloved servants of Allah, and that there is no harm in what they do. Sheikh said, so look at how the servant can reach this level, and Allah's refuge is sought from this lowly level. So do not sit with those people. He said, Hussein, wa tariq al-madhab, I'm following a certain path, I'm following a certain Sufi path, contrary to the what you find in the translated version, the correction of my mistranslation, rather those who follow a certain path. Shaykh Razan said, a tariq, a path taken by the Sufis. And that's what's meant here, meaning a path taken by the Sufis. So they say, take a sheikh, spiritual guide for yourself, meaning the sheikh of a tariqah. They say that you have to take a sheikh, and he's a sheikh of a tariqah, a Sufi way, which you will follow at his hands. And they say, a person who has no sheikh, no spiritual guide, then his sheikh is Satan. This is what the Sufis say. If you don't have a sheikh and you want that Sufi sheikh, then your sheikh will be Satan. So you have to follow a sheikh, and you have to give him bay'ah, you have to give him a pledge that you will not depart from it, from that way. And they have foul terminologies and usages. So it is upon you to beware of them. They call the people to depart from the religion of Allah to the religion of Satan, and Allah's refuge is sought. But they don't say that, but that's what they're doing. What they're calling to and what they're calling away from Allah's true religion, and they're calling you to the religion of Satan. Allah's refuge is sought. And he said, he's saying, فَإِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى الضَّلَالَةِ. So those people, all of them are upon misguidance. Sheikh Razan said, those Sufis, including their common folk and their scholars, their murids, their spiritual heads, and their sheikhs, their followers and their sheikhs, said, all of them are upon misguidance. All of them are upon misguidance. Their common folk, their scholars, their murids, their followers, their ignorant followers, and their sheikhs, all of them are upon misguidance, except for those who act upon the sunnah. This one will be upon the truth. And this person, upon the sunnah, he will be upon the truth. That's where Sheikh Bazan, Hafidullah, ends explanation of this point. And just finally, before finishing, Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he said with regard to this point, he said, this part of this section relates to the Sufiyya, relates to the Sufis, and it is a warning against them and against their evil deeds and their misguided behaviour and their stupid positions they take. For their sayings and their actions are all misguidance and are filth and corruption. Wahdatul wujud, everything in existence creator and creation are one. He mentions from the most famous sayings of them, Wahdat al-Wujud. Everything in existence, from the creator and the creation, all are one. And ishqun kadhib, and false infatuation. And they claim that a lot of what they do is because they're infatuated, they claim, with their Lord. So they do crazy behavior and they excuse themselves that we're like crazy, we're infatuated. They said, and false infatuation, and useless corrupt sayings, which they carry from each other. So there's no one more astray than one who likens his Lord to a bride, as is affirmed by Ibn Arabi. And the greatest one, in the Sufis regard the greatest one, Ibn Arabi. He likens his Lord to a bride, a newly married woman. So no one is more astray than one who likens his Lord to a bride, as was affirmed by Ibn Arabi. Upon him be Allah's curses. In the footnote, they mention you can refer to the book Masra al-Tasawwuf al-Tanbih al-Ghari ila Taqsir Ibn Arabi, Book of Refutation, and explain the kufr of Ibn Arabi, this great Sufi, and the Sufi love Ibn Arabi, explaining his kufr, his disbelief. By the great scholar, the Sheikh Burhan al-Din al-Buqa'i. So the Lord of the Sufis here is a woman. And you can refer to a smaller book. They say in the Quran here, you can refer to a smaller book with the title of the Sufis in the balance of the book and the Sunnah by Sheikh Muhammad Jamil Hussain. Then Sheikh Ahmed continued and said, and those people who mention al-ishq, infatuation, in love of Allah, then this is just Satan leading them into kufr, disbelief, and causing them to fall into the quagmires of misguidance, which is such that there is no misguidance worse than it. And no other misguidance can even resemble it. So whoever makes Allah to be a solid inanimate rock, and a dumb animal, and the ground that is trodden upon, and a ring that's thrown away, then his disbelief is worse than the disbelief of the atheist who does not acknowledge Allah and who does not believe in his existence. So we ask Allah to protect us from that which they have fallen into, and to grant us refuge from the evil of their foul sayings. And Allah grant success. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.